much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Same conversation that we've been having since we first met. I'm just a very, I'm a sexual person.
She doesn't want to hear this.
And so finally she gets so fed up, right, that she tells me to go have sex with other people. Even though we're married and in love, supposedly.
Supposedly.
And so, do I go and have sex with other people? No. Do I get credit for it? Of course not.
This is all very interesting, but this is a parent-teacher conference, and we're here to talk about your daughter.
And now. Now, have you ever had any experience with being funny?
Our feature presentation.
That's a great question. That's a great question.
And the answer is no.
No. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeach. It is Wednesday, the 20th of August.
What's going on? Everybody all right? Everybody happening? Everybody got all their parts? Everything's working?
Yeah.
Got all their parts.
So I checked.
You mean body
this
parts?
Morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all there.
You know, it's not a given with me the way I break things and things fall off and everything like that. Got a great story to get us started here today before we talk about today's all-new Kevin DeBeach show. It's going to be a good show. Let's start with a story out of Riverside, the 8th coolest city in America. What's up with – look – there's nothing wrong with a business trying to make money. I'm not against capitalism. I don't think all corporations are bad. But I don't understand what gets into some companies where they will let public relations cost them far more than what doing the right thing would cost them.
Yeah.
You hear a story about something, you know, so it goes viral because somebody tries to return something to a store and they won't let them. And it's a $50 item that the company could have easily let them return, but instead they're going to get a $10,000 worth of bad publicity because they treated the customer like a dick. Like, I don't understand the mindset of that. It doesn't seem like there's a reasonable person making the decision on the company's end.
I think that's it right there.
Yeah.
Not a reasonable person that's making that decision and understands what's going on in PR and dealing with people.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, word spreads. Not that you can hurt a bank. I mean, we all use banks. We have to. U.S. Bank in Riverside is in the news. Back in 2011, they were robbed. They had a guy come in and hold them up and get away with an undisclosed amount of money. Well, there was a customer in the store there at the time named Brad Lazarus, who did more than just pay attention. He says, I'm not the type of guy to sit on the sidelines. He jumped in his truck, chased down the suspect on the highway, out on the, I think it was maybe, would it be the I can't remember which freeway he went to, but wrote down the truck's license plate number and turned it over to the police.
Wow.
Now, that's going above and beyond the call of duty as an innocent bystander, isn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
The suspect later that day robbed another U.S. bank. However, the police were able to go to his home and arrest him based on the fact that they knew his name and address because this customer, Mr. Lazarus, had written down the address. Now, the reason this is in the news now when the bank robbery happened in 2011 is at some point, and the timeline isn't clear to me how the bank would have ever had time to offer a reward for information leading to the capture and, you know, the arrest and the conviction of this bank robber?
Because right.
They caught him on the same day. So when did the bank put out the warning? I don't know.
Maybe they have a standing, you know, thing where they say,
maybe.
Whenever we get robbed, we'll give you money to help us track him down.
Well, it says here that they advertised a $10,000 reward for that information. Here we are in 2014. They still haven't paid the man. He's contacted them and said, what up? And they've offered him $1,000.
What?
That's BS.
I feel like it was a slap in the face, said Lazarus. I feel like if a big corporation makes an offer, they should stand by it. Channel 2, our news partner in Los Angeles, asked a bank spokesperson how the dollar amount was determined, and they were told, our decision is made in consultation with the police based on the facts of the case. Now, regardless of what else the police used to assist in that arrest, I can't imagine that the customer getting the license plate wasn't the primary piece of evidence that led them to his home later that day.
Maybe the amount wasn't that much. Maybe he didn't
get how away. Much they stole?
Oh, yeah, maybe it's based on that, and he didn't steal that much money.
Maybe he only stole $400 or something?
Right. So,
and they never reveal the information as to how much was stolen, so it's possible. But that's not the customer's fault. I mean, the customer still ran out of the bank, jumped in his truck, and hit the freeway to get this license plate.
Yeah.
It just seems to me like what's the upside for the bank? I guess the obvious answer is $9,000. But doesn't it just seem like you just do the right thing in that case? Because that customer went so far above and beyond what any of us would have done.
So our message today is don't do that. Don't help. Right?
Not worth it.
I guess, you know, he said he's not the type of guy to sit on the sidelines. I guess he felt like he had to do something, but don't do it planning on a reward. Don't do it planning on getting what you're owed, that's for sure. By the way, he says whatever money he gets, he plans on sharing the extra reward money with the bank security guard. And again, great reporting, Channel 2, unclear what his involvement was in the robbery. And plans to give some to charity as well, and he'll be grateful for whatever he receives. So he just sounds like a nice man.
Wow.
And U.S. Bank in Riverside, give the guy his $10,000, for God's sake.
That's crazy. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Do you ever stop talking?
Adam Carolla is a guy who never stops talking.
That's that for damn sure.
We have him this week at Rage today on the program. We are going to talk about the new Clippers owner, Steve Ballmer, who is crazy.
But in a good way.
In a good way, absolutely.
In the kind of way where a guy can buy a sports franchise for $2 billion cash. Yeah. That kind of good way.
Lisa's Sea Candy Challenge. Yes. C's Candy Challenge, I'm sorry. She claimed yesterday that in those boxes that have assorted flavors, she can look at it and tell exactly what flavor it is.
Can't you?
No.
Yeah. Some of them you can.
Yeah. I mean, know your favorites, right?
Like, say, some of them are a cherry that's covered in, you know, you can sort of
dark chocolate. You can identify something with coconut in it. I mean, you can tell some of them. Yeah, that's...
Well, come on. Seriously. I've eaten a lot of steaks.
Oh, come on.
My life.
Chloe Grace Moretz will be on the program today.
Ah, she's awesome.
Talking about her movie, If I Stay. We are looking for people who faked their own deaths. We always are a little hesitant about this because it must be a pretty small sample size of people who tried to fake their own death.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I know you are. And comedian Bob Saget in the studio as well. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
And that means it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Christian Bale and his lovely wife, former model and makeup artist, Sivi. They just had a baby boy this week. So, Christian, good for you! Oh, la-di-da-di-da, here I am having a son! No! No! The pair have been notoriously private, intensely private.
Yeah.
We didn't even know she was pregnant.
Right.
And by the way, they have a daughter who's now 9 years old whose name has never been released. That's how private they are.
Wow.
That's... just known as Daughter Bale. Bale daughter. That's what she's known as.
It's strange in this day and age with, you know, with computers and everybody that wants to get famous by getting some information out there that they're able to do that ever.
I think.
For 6 months.
I firmly believe if you want to, you can keep your life private if you choose to. If you've pared yourself down, if you don't have a publicist and you don't do that stuff and you don't make releases and press releases and everything, yes, people, of course, can hunt down the information if they're terribly, if it's an investigative reporter, but who's really motivated to dig in to find the name of Christian Bale's daughter? If you don't say, we welcome our new daughter, blah, 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 to the world, people aren't really going to hound you for that information, I don't think. On the other side,
I hope that's true.
What the hell are you hiding?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares? It's just a girl's name.
Huh.
Unless it's, you know. Smegma. Smegma Bale.
Maybe
her name is Smegma Bale.
Seems unlikely.
I think it is. I'm going to say right now, he has a 9-year-old daughter named Smegma Bale.
Well, that's unfortunate for her.
It is unfortunate.
No! No!
Not right. Okay.
I just did that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Jake T. Austin. He's
guilty.
He's my man. He's my boy. You know who Jake T. Austin is?
Nope.
Well,
is he the 2.5 Men actor kid?
Nope.
Oh, who's he?
That's Austin Powers? No. Austin, Jake Austin? No.
Moving on.
Mahone?
Thanks.
Mahone?
No, it's
a different.
Is that a singer? Austin Mahone is a singer, yeah. Okay. Huh. I forgot the guy, the half man of Two and a Half Men.
Angus T. Jones.
Angus T. Jones. There you go.
Thank you, Chip.
Jake T. Austin is a young actor from a show called The Fosters.
Oh, my God.
Familiar with The Fosters.
Have you guys been seeing this season? It's been crazy.
You don't watch The Fosters.
I've never heard of it.
I believe it's on ABC Family Channel.
Not one time.
I don't even know what that is.
Apparently, he threw a fit at the gifting suite at the Teen Choice Awards because a worker did not recognize him and would not let him in.
Oh, my God.
Well, you're as big a star as Austin T. Jones, or whatever his name is.
I kid you not, the 19-year-old actor began yelling the classic line,
"Yeah!
Don't you know who I am?"
Yay!
To which the young lady could legitimately respond, "No."
I think if
he threw some F-bombs, then tossed an empty shoebox at the head of one of the female employees.
By the way, these gifting suites are just, they give away free stuff. So,
yeah,
so you want to go in, but you're not owed anything. It's not like he deserved to be in there.
Actually, it's right there in the title. The gifting suite. It's a gift that some people are giving to you. It's a gift. It's not compensation. It's not the you've earned it suite. It's the gifting suite.
Yeah.
And he was very upset. So, there you go.
You know what's funny? Every time somebody says, "Don't you know who I am?" That has already been answered. That question has already been asked.
Right. By her saying, "I'm sorry, you can't come in here because I don't know who you are." You're saying, "Don't you know who I am?"
Clearly not.
It's self-evident.
So, move on.
How dare you?
Great casting news. Adrian Palicki has just been added to the upcoming season of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Love it.
She'll play Mockingbird.
Oh, Mockingbird. He or she is awesome.
You don't know, man. She's Mockingbird.
Yeah, I know. From the Hunger Games.
No,
it's going to be good.
Mockingbird
was
Hawkeye.
That's Mockingjay, I think.
Oh,
Kevin.
Hawkeye's longtime love interest. You know, yeah, she's going to take on the role of Barbara Bobby Morris, as she is known. The new season begins on September the 23rd. Adrian's arc won't start until a couple episodes in, but I'm very excited that she's been added to the cast.
This last couple weeks of August is always a little weird because you start to really look forward to the shows coming back.
Yeah.
But you still got a couple of weeks to go.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good, though. It's exciting.
Yeah.
It always used to be this way, by the way.
Yeah.
You used to go an entire summer without any new
programming.
That's
right.
And fall would start to roll around like, oh, I can't wait. My favorite shows are going to return.
But now when I'm watching The Strain, for example, on FX, they keep showing teasers for Sons of Anarchy.
See?
And I just keep thinking, oh, come on, September 9th, let's get there.
You build your anticipation. By the way, The Strain just got picked up for a second season, just got renewed.
The Strangers?
The Strain.
Strain. Oh, did it?
Remember the show you were just talking about?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you said Stranger.
I'm on your side.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that show.
It's back. Today's celebrity birthdays, boxing promoter Don King is 83 years old today. Only in America.
Yeah.
We got to get some Mountain of Blackenite on the show today.
Actor Ray Wise is 67. God, I love him. Remember Reaper? He was so good as the devil in Reaper.
He was.
So charming. And of course...
Nope. Keep going.
Of course...
denied.
Twin Peaks, of course. Twin Peaks. He was excellent on that show as well.
Robert denied.
Plant.
Denied.
Robert Plant is 66. Led Zeppelin fame. Al Roker, Kevin's favorite TV weatherman, is 60 years old.
I pooped my pants.
Joan Allen is 58. James Marsters turns 52. Can't believe that, by the way. He was Spike on Buffy.
Yeah.
He looks exactly the same. He's 52 years old. It's insane how good looking that guy is.
Yeah.
Fred Durst is 44. Amy Adams is 40. Actor Andrew Garfield turns 31. And Demi Lovato is 20.
Demi Lovato.
What was he doing?
I don't know, because it sounds like the tape was slowed down, but it wasn't. It was him.
Like he had a stroke while he was drunk.
It was a heat stroke. It was a hot day.
But so what? So how does that make you say love?
And she made me feel funny down there.
She's 22 years old. Wow. Just he ruins everything.
That is not attractive.
And he's not even being.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bob Saget next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Lisa May with the See's Chocolate Challenge. She claims that she can identify any See's chocolate just by looking at it.
Any See's fan can.
Okay.
I'm not positive that that's true.
I'm pretty sure that's
true. Going to put you to the test. That's coming up. First, though, big news in the business world yesterday. Steve Ballmer, who has been with Microsoft for 34 years, resigned his position as a member of Microsoft's board. He dropped out of law school, I want to say it was. Is that what we heard? To go join Bill Gates to be part of Microsoft in the very beginning. He served as their chief executive for 14 years. And last year, he turned that over to another man. And now he has been on the board of directors ever since. So he stepped down. And part of the reason he stepped down, he said, is because he's just too busy now. He spent $2 billion to buy himself a basketball team, and that's what he wants to devote all of his energies to. So no more Steve Ballmer at Microsoft. That's really the end of an era.
And do yourself a favor and look up Steve Ballmer, Microsoft, on YouTube, because his stage presence, I mean, this dude is crazy.
He is passionate and energetic.
In a way that
sure.
I love,
yeah.
But crazy.
And it's interesting, and we were watching that, I don't know officially what they called that event at Staples Center that he appeared at the other day. Was it a fan day, I guess it was? But it seems like his style is more suited to the world of sports than it is to the world of computer business,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's the guy who's out there just getting everybody as fired up as can be. Here's a little bit of him on stage the other day.
And last but not least, my favorite, which nobody can define except I'll try to define it for you. We're going to be hardcore. Hardcore.
You don't see like a 60-year-old bald guy,
nope,
you know, prancing around a stage like Eminem screaming out the word hardcore. It doesn't happen.
We're going to get better every day. We're going to be tenacious. Something knocks us down, we're going to get back up, and we're going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Do you watch these guys? That was hardcore!
All right.
Hardcore,
all right.
Baby!
All right,
nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming, hardcore! The hardcore Clippers! That's us!
I love him so much.
It's the new era for Clippers fans, and we're delighted to welcome for the first time ever to the Kevin and Bean Show, Mr. Steve Ballmer himself. Hi, Steve!
Kevin and Bean! How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
Are there any Clippers fans in the house?
Steve, we're not at the rally right now.
I can't hear you.
We're not at the rally right now.
I can't hear you.
Just talking to you on the phone.
Yeah, can we just have a regular conversation? You can save that for us.
I'm having a regular conversation.
All right, there's one of us on our staff named Dave the King of Mexico.
I love it, Dave the King of Mexico.
Huge Clipper fan.
So, you know what else I love? When I say I love, you say Larry, okay? I love
Larry!
I love
Larry!
I love
Larry!
That's how you get it done.
Now, tell people what Larry is for those that don't follow the NBA.
Larry O'Brien Trophy is the championship trophy for the NBA, baby!
Right, but I don't think anyone else has ever called it Larry.
Hardcore, baby!
Okay.
It's hardcore when you win that championship and you are number one!
I got to tell you, Mr. Ballmer, I mean no disrespect. Mr. Ballmer.
Yeah, that's right. Just come on! Call me Steve!
All right,
Mr.
Steve.
Mr. Ballmer was my dad!
All right. Dad, that's right. Okay, Steve, I have to tell you that the players, I mean, although they appreciate your money and they appreciate that they don't work for Donald Sterling now and they love your enthusiasm, they looked a little embarrassed, a little shell-shocked by what you were doing on stage the other day.
They were shell-shocked! They were excited, man, because they are hard! Core! Somebody gets in their way, boom! They just knock it down!
Now, Steve.
And they keep coming and coming,
right.
And, coming
right.
And coming and coming
all right.
And coming
right.
And coming and
okay.
Coming
right,
and
Steve.
Coming
right. Got
and
it.
Coming
I'm terrified
coming,
where this is going to end.
And
yeah.
Coming
all right.
And coming.
Got it. Okay.
I love Larry!
Our friend Bob Saget is here. We'll be joining us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Ralph has the showbiz beat on the way, and we got more tickets for you to win to go see the Galaxy versus Chivas USA. That's all coming up this morning here on K-Rock.
Let's talk about Lisa May. We had a conversation yesterday with – we were talking about people who come up with apps.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who came up with an app that will tell you – it's Choco – what, Christine? Choco? Choco Map.
Okay.
So you have this app, and then if you get a box of C's chocolates that's assorted, it'll tell you exactly what each one is.
So you don't have to take a bite, spit it out, and get something else that you
like.
And
put it back in the box.
Yeah.
Right.
I have done many, many times.
Of course, yeah.
Now, this was Kevin Bean Lister Alex, who was kind enough to call in, and here he is describing the app to us on the phone yesterday, and then listen to Lisa jump in with a startling revelation.
Our app is called Choco Map. and we kind of developed it so when you get a box of chocolates, you don't know what's inside. So this app, it actually has a picture of every single chocolate that's inside the box, cut in half, and it gives you a description.
That's for everybody but me, because I can totally tell you what the candy is inside.
If I buy you a box of See's chocolate, you can look at the chocolate and tell us what it is.
If you're a real fan of See's, you can do that. Absolutely. Wow.
We should challenge her to that.
Yes, we should.
Yes, we
yes,
should.
Yes, we should.
And that's why we have...
Lisa's Chocolate Challenge!
Well, I don't know that was necessary anymore.
Lisa's Chocolate Challenge!
Guys, why wouldn't See's put a key in every box so that you could avoid this problem of not knowing which chocolate you're biting into?
I think they used to. I think there used to be a sheet on top of the candy.
Right.
That would tell you
That's what I thought.
It's not there anymore.
But, and hence the need for the app.
But you know who doesn't need that piece of paper?
Lisa May.
That's
Lisa May,
right.
Exactly.
Lisa's
right,
Chocolate Challenge.
What size box did we pick up this morning? How many chocolates in there?
This is a what?
The 1 pound assorted.
1 pound assorted.
1 pound assorted. Okay, that's a lot of choices. How many different chocolates do you think are in there, Christine, if you're looking at the box?
It looks like there's probably about 25,
30. Wow.
Wow.
30.
Wow.
30. But they do repeats in some of them, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But that's still a lot of different chocolates to try to identify. All right, how do you want to work this out? Because we got the app, we've got Lisa, we've got plenty of tasters in the room. You guys are willing to help out and eat some of these?
Yeah, Lisa won't eat them because it doesn't fit in her cloud diet.
Right.
Yeah, we'll just have, you know what we'll have Christine hand her a chocolate.
Okay.
And then Lisa will tell us what it is, and then we'll double check and see.
Okay, I like it.
She's handing her the first one.
I believe this is a California brittle.
You are correct.
Are you kidding me?
One of my favorites.
I don't even know what a California brittle is.
I get them every time I go.
What?
Is there a cashew brittle over there, the white one?
Hey, why don't you just...
Pasta? I don't think so. Oh. Different box.
You just take it easy.
Bummer.
All right.
Okay.
What's a California brittle, by the way? What's in that?
It's like toffee with chocolate. They're delicious.
Wow.
If you would like to know officially, it's brittle with almonds covered in milk chocolate.
There you go.
Okay, well done. So right. Lisa for the point.
Wow, one to nothing. All right.
I'm a little... I'm going to say that this is a caramel with... it's either peanuts or almonds. Caramel with...
Lisa's Chocolate Challenge!
Caramel with almonds.
You should get partial credit.
It's peanuts?
I don't know. What's the answer?
Did you say penis?
I said it was peanuts or almonds.
It's just caramel.
Oh, this is just caramel.
No, that's not...
Really?
She doesn't
There's
get
no
that.
Nuts in there?
Nope.
I'm surprised.
One to one.
All right.
I'm surprised. Lisa says that like she's wrong.
I almost have to break this open because it's either... I think it's just...
We can all tell what it is if you break it open.
If I break it open, you don't know what this is. I'm going to say this is a dark nougat.
Dark?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I don't like these so much.
Very impressive. For somebody who doesn't eat chocolate, Lisa sure knows a lot about chocolate.
I ate a lot of chocolate.
How are you not 600 pounds?
I don't like this. I don't know what it is. I know I don't like it.
I'm not asking you if you like it.
I'm going to say it's like a strawberry cream blah.
That is incorrect. It's a marzipan.
Marzipan.
Ooh, Lisa's Chocolate Challenge.
Right, marzipans are pretty good.
Two to two.
Okay. I give Lisa some credit for strawberry cream blah. It was a pretty good guess.
I don't know why I don't name
it. If it was blah, she would have won automatically.
Cherry?
She's looking at another one. C's challenge.
No, sort of. Okay. Then
no, it's not a cherry.
What is it?
That is a Mayfair, which is walnuts, cherries, and vanilla covered in milk chocolate.
It's cherry.
You know
it's a cherry.
By the way,
you get that and you go, "That's a cherry."
Yeah, right. That's true.
But you don't get credit just for saying one of the things in it.
I have to know that it's called
because you know
Mayfair,
what? All of them have chocolate in it, so you can just say that.
What's in it?
You claimed, Lisa, that you.
Do we give it to her or not?
Screw you, Bordeaux.
All right.
Take it.
No.
Suck it.
What?
Bordeaux, right there.
What kind of chocolate, Lisa?
Bordeaux milk chocolate. Bordeaux.
Wow.
Lisa's Chocolate Challenge.
I think this is a mocha. Milk chocolate mocha.
She's 3 and 3.
That's unbelievable, Lisa.
And this one.
She's 4 and 3,
I just
have
to see what kind of nut it is. I think it's a peanut square. No. Okay. It's a walnut square.
What?
It's an almond square. No, the second one.
The second one was
walnut,
correct.
You got it.
It's
walnut square.
The second,
it was hard to identify.
The second one is correct.
Yeah. They all are. That's the point.
All right, so it's 4-4. She's got four right, four wrong.
Not bad.
We
can we do one more for the tiebreaker?
Bring it over.
One more for the tiebreaker.
Is it gluten-free?
We don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
I don't need that. So I can't eat these.
This is all scary. Right. Lisa knows as much about it. It really
chips
is.
Are there.
Oh, my gosh.
That is what's that called? A mallow, scotch mallow?
That is.
Yeah, that's a patty.
Is that right?
She's just showing off now.
That's a peanut square.
What?
There's some. That's a buttercream.
She's correct.
What's happening?
Buttercream.
What?
I think we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. I think Lisa Bay actually can do it. That's unbelievable.
Is that at all
that's
possible.
Amazing. Hey, Christine, if our listeners want to find the Choco app that our listener tipped us off to, what do they look for?
They're looking for Choco Map in the App Store.
Chocolate map. All right.
All right.
Well done, Lisa. Pass
Thank
those chocolates
you.
Out, baby. Let's do it.
Lisa's chocolate challenge.
So, I've been trying to diet right. Fat. I've been failing every night. So, I've been drinking beer instead. Fat. I've been eating in my bed. So, eating in my bed. Fat. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh. All my meals are soaked in grease.
So
that will block my arteries.
Fat.
Pork rinds are what I want.
So
deep fried butter to make me strong.
Fat.
Then I'll hit the ball.
So I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart. I belong to food. Food belongs in me, in my clogged
heart. So are you gonna finish that? Are those hash browns fried in fat?
So
thick bacon's all I need.
Fat.
A quarter pounder wrapped in cheese.
So
extra mayo
is what I please.
Fat.
Could you put the chili cheese fries on the bun?
So
it's gonna give me heart disease.
Fat.
Fantastic.
I belong to food.
Mm.
Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
Mm, that's so good.
I belong to food. Mm. Food belongs in me, in my clogged heart.
Can I get that with three sides of mac and cheese, please?
And soon I'll be 900 pounds. I will.
Oh no! Oh no! I think I'm having a heart attack. Quick! Somebody get the defibrillator! Clear!
Fairbug did eat all of the seeds.
Chocolate.
That's,
grab
so I had time to revisit that song after I was watching him inhale that chocolate here this morning.
Yeah.
All right, Bob Saget coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, wrap us here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin DeBean show. What's going on?
I think you guys are in for a good time with Bob Saget.
Because?
He's rested. He seems energetic. He's got a lot on his mind.
All right, good.
Good.
I think it's going to be... Going to be one for the highlight.
I'd say it's 50-50, though, that he talks about any one of the things that he's got on his mind right now, because he just starts ad-libbing and going in different directions every single time.
He seems very focused
today.
All right,
good.
He seems focused and rested, and he's got some coffee in him, and I think...
Well, what do I say, Ralph? Bob never fails to disappoint.
That's right.
Stop it.
Stop it. Would you put down your phone, your iPad, your camera at a concert if... the artist asked you to do it.
Yes,
yes.
Of course.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Would you really?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I would.
If they specifically said, please.
You think most people would?
I would hope so. If they're a fan of the artist, they would respect the artist's wishes.
I think there's a lot that wouldn't.
I think there's a lot
that
wouldn't.
I don't take pictures at concerts because you can always find better pictures than whatever you're going to take with your phone online after the show.
That's true. And I always like, I think it interferes with my experience of enjoying the show if I'm worried about taking pictures and stuff like that. So
but
I tend not to. But a lot of people
especially
are the opposite.
If the artist that you like that you go to see says it.
Well, this is the case. Kate Bush, who, for those of you don't know, is a legendary British singer-songwriter. I love her. She's doing her first concerts in more than 35 years coming up. This month. She released a statement this week that said, "It would mean a great deal to me if you would please refrain from taking photos or filming during the shows. I very much want to have contact with you as an audience, not with iPhones, iPads, or cameras." So she is asking everyone to unplug.
The the iPad photographer needs to die.
Oh, those people.
Right? I mean, because they
just put up a flat screen in front of your face and just take some pictures.
Oh, my God. That blocks a whole section.
No, who did that?
King of Mexico.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It does seem like, what's the point of being there if you're looking at your phone screen?
Right.
You're really not watching the artist on stage.
She's right in front of you live. Yeah. And you're looking at her via a screen.
And my other favorite part is the person who's doing that is usually dancing. And so the camera's just going all over. Yeah. You watch that for 10 seconds, you throw up.
No, you just look like someone with Tourette's trying to film a video. She's doing 22 shows, by the way, at the Eventum Apollo in London. Starting on August 26th, running through October 1st. They all sold out within minutes of going on sale. But 22 consecutive shows.
Is this amazing? This is it?
This is not it. She may be back. No, there's no word on whether this is it or not.
Right. But.
Ralph, I wonder, would this Kate Bush story coming right on the heels of your Peter Frampton story last week about him grabbing a phone from a fan and hurling it off the stage? Yeah. I wonder if we're getting to a tipping point of artists just being, you know, being tired of it.
I hope so.
Stop it.
I hope they start arming themselves and picking off audience members from the stage. That would be exciting. David Letterman gave an emotional tribute to his longtime friend Robin Williams this week on The Late Show. I don't know if you guys saw the video or not, but it was...
I did. It was amazing.
I saw all the tributes and all the footage and all the farewells, and I didn't really... I wasn't moved. I mean, I was moved, but I wasn't, like, choked up by any of it until I watched this one with Letterman. And really was a wonderful send-off. And the footage that they showed of those two just cracking up and having a good time, I think it was the most touching tribute I'd seen in a long time. And even Letterman got emotional when he was talking about them. They had been together friends for 38 years. Started out together at the Comedy Store.
You know, Letterman rarely gets emotional.
Maybe that's what it was, the fact that he's so detached and ironic that when he actually feels emotion and starts to choke up, I get choked up because you can see that starts to break down.
I still remember his first show back after September 11th. 9/11, and that was
devastating.
Just because he couldn't handle it.
You remember when he came back after his heart surgery? And he brought out his surgery team and brought him out on stage
and thanked
them for what was going on? He broke down then, too. So, good man, that Dave Letterman.
We're going to miss him.
No, he's
still, I don't even watch him. Evan, I'm going to miss him.
He's still here.
He's still here.
No, but I mean, he's retiring this year. I'm saying we're going to miss him, when he's not on.
Speaking of people we miss, Casey Kasem's body, it has been determined, will be going to Oslo, Norway, but has not yet been shipped.
What?
I thought it was already in Oslo, Norway.
Where is it now?
We don't know, Lisa. Jean Kasem is shipping the body to Oslo, Norway. Why? Because she's part Norwegian.
Oh, finally, we got some explanation.
We have a reason now.
Did she live in Norway?
No.
Norwegian. Never?
It's part of her heritage, though.
Yeah.
Her heritage, not his.
But not his. Did she die?
No, she died.
Oh, how about that?
A spokesperson for the funeral agency said Jean claimed she was shipping her husband's body to them later this year.
Later this year?
When I get to it.
Sometime. Wow.
Maybe when I start cleaning out the attic.
3-4 months.
I'll move the body.
I don't know. I didn't know you could just do whatever you want with a body.
I didn't either.
I didn't either.
Is there going to be anything left after Casey's been dead for 6 months?
I don't know,
What's
man.
Don doing? Is he waiting on me?
Get Don on the phone, please.
Is Don on the phone?
I don't think Don's on the phone.
Because Don would not approve. I don't think he would at all.
No, he would not. And, John Stamos is in the news.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Be careful. You know who's in the other room.
Buddy of our next guest. Know. He is producing a movie, a musical, based on all the Beach Boys music. You know, he's a huge Beach Boys fan and played with the band for...
Played drums for a while.
Still does from time to time.
Yeah.
He is producing a movie called All Summer Long, which will be featuring all Beach Boys music. And it looks like English model actress Cara Delevingne is reportedly in talks to play one of the lead roles.
Brian?
Wow.
How about that?
Did someone ask Brian?
I
just heard Brian.
Bean said Brian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, to play Brian?
Yeah.
Yes. He said she's in talks to play one of the lead
Brian
roles.
Wilson, I said Brian. The Beach Boys. No, I thought Bean was having a conversation with his handyman or something.
I think you came in too soft on that one.
Brian, pull
for the first time since we started working, Bean came in too soft.
Pull my zipper down, Brian. It sounded like you were just off mic talking to Brian.
No, I was talking about Brian Wilson. No. We were talking about the Beach Boys.
Understand now. Okay. Now after an intricate explanation. But at the time, it just sounded like you were talking to some guy named Brian over in the corner of the room.
Can you refill my drink?
Hey, Brian. Here you go. Brian, what's up, man?
Okay.
Just leave the package over here.
No, Caroline. Caroline is the name of the character she would be playing, and of course,
like from the song.
Yeah, I'm guessing like from the Beach Boys song, Caroline.
Caroline. No, right?
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Dennis.
John Stamos, by the way, just auditioning smoking hot Victoria's Secret models for his new movie.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
His life.
Sure.
Oh no, I got a part.
He's waiting. He's waiting in the green room of a radio station.
Bob Saget
wins here
in a room full of fleas, which he doesn't know yet.
Yeah, don't mention the fleas.
He'll know it when he takes them home, though, won't he?
Today's celebrity birthdays: boxing promoter Don King is 83 years old today. Ray Wise, one of my favorite actors. Is it Wise or Weiss? Do you know? I think it's Wise.
I think
right?
It's Wise.
I've always heard Wise.
Yeah, I think I Wise. Know.
Confuses me. 67 years old. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin is 66. Al Roker is 60. Joan Allen's 58. Actor James Marsters from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 52. Fred Durst turns 44. Amy Adams is 40 years old today. Actor Andrew Garfield, you know him best as Spider-Man, he is 31. And Demi Lovato is 22.
Demi Lovato.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You love the damn Full House, right? I did so much family television, I have Tourette's now. You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. My dad's like, if your mom and I are having sex and we videotape it and she falls out of bed funny, can I win $10,000? The Backstreet Boys, they're f***ing awesome. And they are back, and they are street, and they are boys, and they are men. And they rock my f***ing world. Actually, name-dropping is bullshit. It really is. Quentin Tarantino told me that. He said, name-dropping is bullshit. And I said, you're f***ing right, Quentin. And we were up all night, and Tribeca was off the hizzle. Marijuana's not a drug. I used to suck for coke. Saget, you rock! You suck for coke! That's what I do. I suck but only for coke. Here's the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, Bob Saget. This guy sucks almost as bad as that guy on Full House.
This might be an excellent time to say, if you've got small children in the car on your way to school or work this morning, maybe a good time to switch away and see what Big Boy's up to today. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Bob Saget joins us in studio here on the
Thank you.
Show. Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Doing great. I see you're going to be at the Brea Improv this weekend for five big shows, two on Friday, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. I read your piece in the OC Weekly where it sounds like you've got nothing. You are hitting the stage with a blank brain.
That's really true. I actually had part of it removed just so I could play Brea.
Wow.
I've been, you know, it's been a complex time in the news and in the world, and so I'm really wanting to be funny and get in tune with whatever the hell's happening that weekend.
Well, Ferguson, Missouri, there's a lot of comedy there. You got that going on.
So painful. I just
Middle East, ISIS, you got that. A lot of hilarity
well,
there.
I thought for a while that Israel was just having a problem with hummus. They didn't like the actual food. And then
I know it's Hamas.
Turns out
so. I misunderstood, and then it got all terrible. And then I thought, sure. Falafels, like, I just didn't understand. I'm silly is what I am.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid pain.
You're also bold by going on stage without an act.
Actually, this weekend I went and saw Don Rickles, who it is such an act. But it is not an act. And he's kind of the barometer of where, when I was 17, I would watch him. He's a very nice man. Never touched me.
Good.
And
one asked, but okay, it's good information.
No, he never did.
Right.
But he was just hilarious. I saw him in Vegas at the Orleans, which was really nice.
Wow.
He's a guy who can you be friends with a Don Rickles? I mean, is he someone who you are?
Yeah, which is really weird. That's because of John Stamos. John introduced me to him. And then John was like, oh, Don would just go, I want a Greek son. You'll be my Greek son. That's how he talks to people.
All
he
right,
just
fine.
Takes his whatever religion or if it was horoscopes, he would be at that.
Now, why is he still working, by the way?
Because he can't stop. He just thinks while you're alive, you should be able to do it. And he was pretty,
Awesome. Are you going to be like that, Bob?
I don't think so. I think it's Brea, and that's about
it. That's
it? I'm working on some other projects right now. There's a movie we're casting right now, and Hardcore.
You should have Stamos cast it based on what I've heard lately.
Well, he's amazing. He just did that movie. My friend Mike Young directed My Man is a Loser with Michael Rapaport and Brian Callen, and it's very good. I thought he was really good, he should do. He's dressing up as soldiers and stuff. He's been in England putting on Robert E. Lee beards.
All right.
Yeah, so that's going to get him some Southern Belle somewhere.
You really have to ugly him up, though, don't you?
You couldn't scar him. He could be Elephant Man. You'd want to sleep with him. He'd be in like, I don't know what I'm trying to think of something Uncle Jesse would say on Full House as the Elephant Man.
Have mercy. I know it sounds it sounds trite, and I hate to even ask this, but does he have some sort of secret besides the yogurt that makes him look better today than he looked 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
what is it? What's he doing?
Well, he and Dave Coulier sleep together. And Dave has a very youthful way in about him.
Careful.
And okay. No, he's just a...
It's just that he hit the DNA lottery.
He did.
Basically.
He did. He's a sweet guy. He's such a sweet guy.
Do a lot of people come up to you two together when you're out? Because I know you're friends and you go to dinner and stuff. And they go,
well, a lot of times
John Stamos, can I meet your dad?
That's nice. Well, usually when they come over, we're in a lip lock or an embrace of some kind. And we're not facing the same way. So,
so it's kind of awkward.
No, yeah. I do look. Sometimes I'm like Walter Matthau's father standing next to him. And I'm with this just handsome Scott Baio 30 years ago. He is such a good friend. And yesterday was his birthday. So
I think 51, which made us all angry because no one looks that good when they're 31.
No, it's funny when you see people from your past, from your high school, and they come up to you and they go, I went to school with you. And it's like one eye's hanging into their mouth.
You barely recognize them.
Yeah, they have like onion hair. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Who's better looking, Bob? Saget or Clooney? You're Saget. Stamos or Clooney?
Saget.
Saget, yeah.
Saget is much better looking than George
Saget,
Clooney.
And then B.
I just had LASIK surgery. I think they're both handsome men. Are you trying to get a rise out of me?
Yeah.
No,
I just felt like chocolate, Lisa. I'll figure this out.
I'll tell you what I do know about John Stamos, though, is that he came to April Foolishness when you did it.
Yes.
When he was backstage. And he's one of the rare people who looks like that. And everybody tells him he looks like that, but it doesn't seem to affect him in any way. Is that accurate?
He is one of the more insecure, in a good way, people that I know.
He doesn't go around going, man, I look good.
He does do that, but I don't think anybody's home when he does it.
Okay, all right.
He just looks in the mirror and he goes, you know, hey, handsome. And the tooth sparkles like it's a CGI effect. He's also incredibly sweet to people. And he's just one of the better people that I know.
Wow, you could learn a lot from hanging out with him then, Bob.
You really could.
If I could just get you to work on your technique a little bit.
He's not saying you in general. I think he's saying you specifically.
Well, you know, I could. I could learn a lot from a lot of things. The most exciting thing that's happened to John Stamos recently is he had a pizza oven put in his backyard. Now, if you're on a talk show and that's your subject, I got this new movie coming out. You got to see it. I got a pizza oven. But his pizzas aren't good. That was his whole thing. He showed on Kimmel how bad the pizzas were.
Okay.
So that
I was going to ask about Kimmel, Jimmy, because, you know, Jimmy's hardcore with his outdoor brick oven. Have you been over there? Have you had a Kimmel yet?
I have not. I have not. And with my heritage, I don't like to be around outdoor ovens. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
That's just me.
He's still got it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. That's good for the kids. If you're driving your kids, please close their ears and give me their cell numbers. That's wrong.
Go ahead. Yes,
please
go ahead.
Talk. No, I wouldn't want to stop.
No, you go.
No, you five shows.
Five shows.
Five shows, no waiting. I'm just doing stand-up to – I wasn't planning to do it if I had my choice. I was planning, but you were right. I cannot stay – I can't stay linear. The five shows this weekend was on my books. I'm excited to do them. Mm-hmm. But with the way the week has been, if I was just going up on my own druthers would be the word from 1922.
Sure.
I would have taken a second thought. Maybe I need to, like, take care of myself a little bit and emotionally.
Because you have two on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. That's a lot of stand-up.
That's like my dating. It's crazy. How do you do that? I had not.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Bob is here.
You sure you need a break?
Yes, we can buy your tickets at theimprov.com. And by the way, $25. That's what it should have cost to see you 20 years ago. That's a bargain for 2014.
Well,
friend.
I'm working stuff out, and they don't deserve to have to. They deserve to not. They don't deserve to pay more.
Okay, $25, 21 and up, obviously. Bob Saget at the Bray Improv will take a quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. The great Bob Saget in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's my words, not his, by the way. Playing the Bray Improv for five big shows this weekend. Go to improv.com Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And congratulations on Dirty Daddy, the Chronicles of a Family Man Turned Filthy Comedian. I understand you just sold your 100th copy of the book, Bob.
Yeah, so out of my trunk with pants.
That's fantastic.
It goes to paperback in October, so I'm sure I'll be here with cases of them.
Sure. Bob, you mentioned in the last segment that we had you on that it's sort of tough to do stand-up right now because it's been a tough week for you. It's been a tough week for all comedians, right?
Yeah. It's, I was out pretty much every night. I've been trying to have dates with comedians I haven't seen in years or good friends. And I was out last night with Mike Binder, director and comedian and writer. and Bill Burr, and we were singing your praises. Everybody was bragging they had to get up at 6 a.m. for something. Well, I'm working tomorrow. Well, I'm on Kevin and Bean. Well, I'm on the set. But they won,
by the way.
They did. Yeah,
they're getting paid. You're not.
But I finally got your 9th cell number, so this will be fun.
How dare you?
Well, I've called you for lunch many times.
Here's what happens. Bob Saget comes in, nicest guy in the world, sure, wants to have lunch. Mm-hmm. I said, here's my email address. Nothing. Comes back in the next time. Hey, how come you didn't respond? I was like, you didn't send me an email. Give it to me again. Give it to him again. Nothing.
You're in viral denial.
That's true. And then phone. I said, listen, let's forget email. Let's text. Here's my phone number. And then he says, you didn't respond. And I said, I changed my phone
every time. But it's 7 times. Girls do that when they meet me. you're acting like a girl. There's nothing wrong with that.
How many times has Bob said, why does your phone number only have 6 digits? No, no, it's right on us. That's it. That's the number.
I gave you my social security number by mistake. Anyway, back to the people that I have their numbers, and I've been texting them
because
they care about me.
Right, sure.
Bill Burr and Mike Binder are in. Mike directed this movie called Black and White, which comes out in November, which is very pertinent to what's going on in the world right now. It's the things we don't need in life, which are tensions between human beings. And the movie stars Kevin Costner, an old friend of mine, and Octavia Spencer, and Bill Burr plays Kevin Costner's brother. So we were having dinner at the Soho House, which they told me to mention as well, because I'm not good at dropping names.
That's a good one.
Right.
And, okay, Soho House.
Are you a member? And then
Bob gets $10 off the bill if he mentions them on the radio.
No, that was the whole point, too. Mike comes out with a calculator at the end of the meal. He's a true producer. And but they made this great movie that I really loved, and I told them I would plug it, and they're listening to this, so I'm
sure they are.
And I'm just I'm under pressure.
You're getting together with all these comedians, and we didn't say this at the beginning because many of you were friends with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And you go back 35 years or more with Robin?
I met him in 1978.
Wow. And did you guys stay in touch? Would you consider that you were close throughout the years?
Well, this is an interesting thing. He touched people from very different places because he had no lasciviousness meant because it was too exhausting.
Right.
But he couldn't say no to people, especially when it came to helping somebody or doing a charity thing or trying to help a comedian. And he was an unusual, as we all know, accelerated talent. And he was a meteor that came out of the comedy scene in 1978 that no one had ever seen before or will see again.
That
ever.
Seems rare that people don't say no. Like, especially people who've reached a certain level of success.
Well, this is interesting because this won't be too much of a downer. I lost a couple sisters, and one of them had scleroderma, which you know because over the years you've helped me promote my benefits. Well, Robin did the benefits 7 times. In fact, the first one he did, my sister was not ill. So he did it, and I didn't even know about the disease. He was the very first person to ever do the scleroderma research
foundation.
So he kind
of gave it to her, really.
He's responsible for giving my sister scleroderma. No, they didn't. They did not pass it through the benefit. Even though one time John Lovett suggested we put it in the soup. That's just one of those bad benefits.
Yeah, sure.
But then Robin did it. Every time I asked him, he would do it. And we did it in L.A. We did it in New York. We did it in San Francisco. And he was just so generous. And
well, one of the things that I have
over $30 million over the years. Thanks
amazing.
To a lot of that he's done.
One of the things that has come out as a result of Robin's passing last week is that he did so much charity that we never even heard about. Personal things that he would do for people, personal favors that he would do, things that he would pick up the tab for, pay for, medical bills, things like that that we never heard about, never made press at the time. But it seemed like there were 1,000 stories in his passing with people who said, you can't believe how generous this man was.
He had a gigantic heart, and he also – when you think of him, when everybody – I know a lot of people that most of us don't know him, and friends come up to me and go, my God, I didn't know him, but he affected me. I'm so affected by this because there was so much love. I remember – and this is a story I told on stage. There was a memorial the other night at the Comedy Store, and it was kind of the resin of the comedians, literally the resin of one guy. He was a bong. It's all he became. But we were – a lot of people hadn't seen each other for 35, 40 years, craziness. And it's – I was watching, I remember when 9/11 happened, and I had watched all the news footage that day, and it's not unlike when you watch the news today. You want to turn on something that gets your mind off, and there wasn't the cable choices that there were.
Any distraction.
Anything. And Channel 11, as my mother would say, Fox Television, was running Mrs. Doubtfire. So they made a choice that night in this terror of terrors of days to run the one. What was the choice of movies? It wasn't, you know, Sound of Music. It was something that could make you feel good, the perfect make you feel good. So this is a guy that was such a genius that he could never, he might have never done stand-up comedy, but six of the 30 movies, I don't know the count, those movies alone made you happy.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you realize what an amazing talent that the world will never see again. And as a person,
let me ask you this, Bob.
A wonderful person.
Wonderful person, we've heard, yeah. David Letterman, who goes back to the same scene, the same era, starting off as a comedian in the late 70s as you and Robin did,
right.
He gave a very touching tribute this week on the show on his first night back after vacation.
It was amazing.
And he said, I consider that Robin Williams and I have been friends for all these years, but I didn't know the man was hurting like that.
Yeah.
Is that your experience also?
Yeah.
Yes.
How prevalent was it that he had that tough a depression and most people didn't know?
Would you say that's accurate? You do think, you want to think and that it's nobody's business when it's your direct family going through stuff and you. And I don't know anything about that. Last time I saw him was about a year ago. And he always seemed like he was chasing devils and talked about it constantly. That was always, you know, make the voices stop.
But it wasn't the sort of thing that you felt you could do anything, though.
No, and I wasn't close enough with him, too, but I was closer with him than I thought I was.
Yeah,
right.
It hit you harder than you could have imagined.
And more than I expected. Yeah. And the friends that he was very close with, I guess I'll say their names,
yeah.
Rick Overton and Bobcat Goldthwait of the comedy world, have been hit to a point where – and this is not the Robin that they knew.
Right.
And so this was something – that is just incredibly sad, and what David said was very, very true. To know that he was in so much pain is just so sad.
It is,
and you don't want someone you love to be in pain. You want people that you really don't care for to be in pain.
Right, those people are fine.
And then have to have your cell number.
And by the way, also a guy who brings happiness to so many other people.
That's the miracle.
I mean, he had a red nose. How could a guy like that be sad?
It's true.
For him to not be able to have that himself is terrible.
It's the epitome of the cliche of the happy clown of the person.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I wouldn't imagine Charlie Chaplin walked around, even though he was the richest man in Hollywood and built a place in 1911, was walking around. Well, maybe I'm
great
wrong.
Great pull for our audience, though, Bob.
Yeah, I know, right?
Great pull.
You don't even need radio to have him.
Who in comedy do you wish it had been instead of Robin Williams?
I wish no harm on anyone. People that are already gone.
Okay.
Evil, bitter people that are not funny people that hurt other people.
Okay.
I still don't wish it on them.
Yeah.
Because I got to say that as a coda.
Sure.
You can't really.
All right.
Norm McDonald texted me because Norm's a friend of mine and we were going through all night texts. And
which restaurant were you guys at then?
We were not. I was at home and he was texting and he did the joke that comedians do to each other and he meant no malice from it. He said, why couldn't it have been you?
Right. Yeah.
And that was, it was very pleasant to read on a day of serious grief. And he also wrote an amazing diatribe on Twitter that was expanded into a leaflet sized piece of writing, which was picked up by a lot of people.
Yeah, it was very, very touching as well. All right, Bob Saget is here. You see what we did? We started off the hour with some comedy, and now we've dipped a little bit, and now we've made everybody sad. But stand back, kids, because we're going to take a quick break, come back with Bob, and he's going to blow you away with the ending. You're going to walk out of wherever you're at right now. You're going to be so happy that you were listening.
Let me just pop my pills.
Paradise, so don't talk about it. So don't talk about it.
Milky Chance is the name of the band, and the song is called Stolen Dance.
Milky Chance is what I call my unit. it's an opportunity there.
Bob Saget is here with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, actress Chloe Grace Moretz next hour here on K-Rock and Adam Carolla.
Oh, Adam Carolla's going to be here?
Adam Carolla. No, I think he's just calling in. He's filming some TV this morning.
He does a weekly thing called This Week in Rage where he's upset about stuff. I know that's shocking.
No, he's good at that.
He is good at that.
Bob is in town this weekend at the Brea Improv. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show on Sunday. Please go see Mr. Saget, improv.com, just $25. I've got a question for you, Bob.
Yes, sir.
You're a, I think of you as a big time celebrity, but I'm starting to reevaluate that. Maybe you're not, because I haven't seen your ice bucket challenge on the internet yet. So how big a star can you really be if you haven't been called out?
Well, this is interesting. I have been called out. I actually filmed it the other day.
What?
And, well, I shot it, but I'm out of ice.
What?
I have an ice problem.
So you were just taking a shower?
Well, I did it. It didn't look good. I gave money to ALS, which is important.
More important.
Yeah. And I also have a problem doing everything that everybody tells me to do. So there's a lot of – you pay a psychiatrist years to tell you not to succumb to peer pressure.
So this is peer pressure. And
but this is the peer pressure of the best kind, though.
It is.
It spreads awareness about a great organization.
It does. And if you have it, I understand the ice water actually spreads it as well. So
I don't think that's true.
Well
– I don't think that's true.
Who called you out, Bob? Because Kevin got called out by Dr. Drew. That's why he had to do it.
And that's
the
nice –
Who named you?
And it's good for you. That's where you should put the ice bucket in what you called him. Jonathan Silverman, my actor friend, asked me to do it. And then I was going to ask two of my friends to do it and then any guy named Harold. And I will do another take. I don't like peer pressure. I have a problem with it, but I want to be part of the community and I want to make people happy.
Most people don't.
You don't really help ALS by dumping water on your head. You raise awareness what is ALS.
Right, and then donate. You know, you should donate. But most people don't go for a second run at the ice bucket challenge. Usually they just put up whatever happens.
Right.
You're going for another one? Like, director? What's happening?
I couldn't put it up. And I ran out of ice. That's the truth.
Is that
and
the truth?
I swear to you. I don't lie to you.
Who runs out of ice?
I run out of ice like you, as fast as you change your cell number. Pretty much every 20 minutes. But Jimmy Kimmel did something that I thought was hilarious, which was put all the ice in his pants. And
it was great.
Wife Molly and another friend put it in there, and then it just got colder and colder. And that takes your nads and turns them into gnats. So
did you see the one that went up this morning? Dr. Dre's, I think, yesterday. That was also very good. But did you see the one that went up this morning? That was the most surprising one of all. George W. Bush.
Really?
Yes, for reals. And he called out President Clinton to do it.
Did George W. Bush get a frigid look in his face and his lips seemed very thin and tight? did he have any recognizable change in his face? Question for you guys. How do I expose this? Do I put it on Instagram? Is that where you put it?
Instagram's fine. You can do it on YouTube.
Could I project it on the side of a building?
Probably not. I mean, you could, but no one would notice.
I don't have the ice bucket. It's just a really rough day, but I've given money
already.
What do you
mean you don't have an ice bucket?
I have an ice bucket.
You don't have ice. You don't have a bucket. What's wrong with you?
I know. I'm going to have a really rough death.
Just do it.
Can't make a martini or die.
Just do it.
All right. I'll dump a bucket. Should I do it today?
Yes.
Maybe I'll do it right from here.
That's fine.
And I'll text it to your phone. That's how I'm going to expose
this
thing.
And then we'll put it up. That's perfectly fine.
You'll put it up here.
I promise you that I won't change it between now and then.
All right.
But by the way, Bob.
Can't it be like a hot thermos of coffee challenge? Can't it be something like that?
Sorry.
No. I want you to know that Kevin, though, your friend Kevin, who sits in front of you that won't answer your text, he's the one who cracked the code on how this ice bucket challenge should be working. Tell Bob what you did when you did it, Kevin.
Well, you mean the actual ice bucket challenge or who I challenged?
Who you challenged.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where we ought to be headed.
I don't know how everyone wasn't thinking this way, but
right.
My mind went to former Miss Double December Lux, who's super hot.
That is right? That is smart.
Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge, who's super hot.
This is who you challenge.
Yes.
This is who you challenge. All of whom have done it, by the way, as a result of Kevin's challenge.
And actress Sarah Shahi, who's one of the stars of Person of Interest, who's super hot.
Right.
Right.
They all did it. They were all happy to do it. They all donated.
So why are we wasting our time challenging Bill Gates and Ryan Seacrest when there are still Victoria's Secret models out there who haven't poured water on their heads?
Am I a bad guy for going
hot? No, you're
hot?
Doing the right thing.
Okay,
you wanted to see perky coldness.
Right. So keep that in mind, Bob. When you do yours.
I'm shooting above the neck.
I wanted to help the cause, but also, if we're dumping water on people,
right.
Shouldn't
cold
it be
water.
Someone hot?
But isn't water scarce? Don't we have a problem? And if somebody
do
says...
Do it in the tub. You can recapture it.
The whole point of dumping in front of people doesn't sound right.
Whoa!
I mean, what if that
That's
was...
A whole
by the way, if that was the challenge, I would not do it. If it was aristocrats-oriented...
You would do it.
No, I wouldn't. I do not do that kind of stuff. I don't play with that stuff anymore. I never really did, even as a kid.
And just go get it done, man.
All right. I'll do it today.
Go get it done.
I'll do it today, and I'll challenge. Well, you guys have done it already?
I have, but Bean hasn't.
Bean, do you have any desire to do it?
You know what? Honestly, I would be happy to if I were challenged. I'd be certainly happy to do it, but no one has challenged me yet.
And so Lisa,
I'm famous.
I haven't done it.
you are famous, but you just.
Oh, and when Brad Williams did it, Brad did it here in the parking lot of K-Rock last week when he was in. He did it shirtless, too, and I think that's maybe something you ought to consider.
It's very
well.
Cute, but if the bucket falls on his head, you miss him for a day.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, whatever helps, you know, to raise his consciousness. But now we have to do it for every other disease.
Well, not
as well,
yet, but yeah, it's possible.
I'll tell you what I like about it. I don't like the peer pressure. What I love about it is it's something light in the midst of all the crap that we're looking at.
Right, exactly.
You get to see people.
It's a nice distraction for a good cause.
And it's silly. It's silly.
And so. I don't know if you've seen the behind-the-scenes story of the guy where this started on ESPN.
No, I would like to know that, actually.
It is tear-jerking to watch his story.
So he dumped tears on his head?
No. He has ALS, and
he was a college athlete. He was a Boston College baseball player who, at 27 years old, was debilitated by ALS, and he's the one who started the Ice Bucket Challenge.
And he did it on himself.
He just did it in the outfield at Fenway Park just this past week. Was the first time he'd done it, even though millions of other people had already done it. They finally did it in his favorite spot in the world. So
we'll get it out.
He's a special guy.
You can put it on Twitter. You have more Twitter followers than anyone, right?
Yeah.
You have like 30 million, like Bieber.
No, I have like 2 million.
Yeah.
I have a piece of a Bieber.
We got to go. But
I need some Bieber.
I want you to have a great time at the Brea Improv this weekend.
Thank you. I love coming here and talking to you guys, and thanks for letting me get through the melancholy stuff, because it's what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Now I'm going to get ice water on my head as a result of this.
And that'll make you feel a lot worse.
It'll shrivel my nads up and put me in, and it'll give me a nice cozy nap.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Two stories in the news recently about people who have faked their own deaths. We'll tell you about those coming up right after the top of the hour, and then we want to talk to you if you've ever done it. It's coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Did Joe Manganiello pop the question to Sofia Vergara after just 2 months of dating? That's what the UK's Daily Mail is saying. Of course, they tend to make up stories. So
that's true.
Factor that into your...
So that's an iffy. Put that in your iffy category.
Exactly. Now, they do have photos of Sofia wearing a huge diamond ring on the finger that ladies usually wear engagement rings on. Sofia just ended her engagement to her former fiancé, Nick Lowe, back in May, and now has a new boyfriend in the True Blood werewolf. And she's got a new line of jewelry, by the way, that she is going to be selling through K Jewelers. Every kiss begins with K, you know that.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So maybe she's just... showing off one of her new ring designs or something. Maybe that's what it's all about.
Ah.
But if I were her, I'd snap him up because he is yummy. Who's with me?
All
say
women.
Hello. That's what I'm saying. Congratulations to... I want to hear what Bean's writing. I just want to know if there's a short story in the offing. Hey, O. Henry, can you just give us a second over here while we're just doing a little showbiz news?
I'm with you. Congratulations to...
The Strain... FX Cable Network has picked up the vampire drama for a second series, so we'll get to find out all about that vampire virus that infects New York City.
I love that show.
It's a good show.
That is a good show.
So what?
Another 13 episodes next summer. You'll be able to check that out. Excellent casting news. Adrian Palicki has been added to the cast of Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hollywood Reporter says she will play Barbara Bobby Morse on the show, who, of course, as we know, is Mockingbird.
Sure. Of course.
This is all
what kind of superpowers does she have?
She doesn't have any superpowers.
Well, she's got a pretty superpower-ish name for somebody who can't do anything.
And so does the Black Widow, by the way. And she's just a regular gal, too.
No, she can kick ass.
So can Mockingbird.
All right. So she can kick ass as well.
Yes.
All right.
But just not in a super heroic way. She wasn't irradiated by a... She wasn't bitten by a radioactive mockingbird or anything.
she doesn't belong on the plane.
Powers to peck bugs out of wood. With her nose or anything like that.
So does she live on the plane with the other mutants?
First of all, they're not mutants. They're just agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. That's what he meant.
And I don't know whether she'll be on the bus or not, as the plane is called, but I'm hoping she will. She'll be joining the cast around 5 episodes in. The beginning of the season is September the 23rd. And, of course, Monday the 25th of August is the Primetime Emmys. Monday, 8 p.m. on NBC, the 66th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards will be
this Sunday. Or Monday.
This Monday.
This Monday.
Monday, yeah. And they're doing a lot of promotion. They want everybody to tune in, as you can imagine. Very funny video online this morning featuring Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul reunited again.
No kidding.
They are doing a four-minute satirical take on the reality series Pawn Shop. All those Pawn Stars and Beverly Hills Pawn and all those Pawn Shop reality shows.
Right.
It's a spoof of those. They play two guys who own the barely legal pawn shop, Buzz Jackson and Randy Jackson. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus comes into their pawn shop. She wants to pawn her Emmy.
Okay.
That she got for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series on Seinfeld.
She decides
she wants to buy a private island, so she wants to sell off her Emmy.
I like it.
And so Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul are behind the counter, and they're examining the Emmy and deciding what they're going to give. You know, they always have in those series, they come in and they appraise what it's worth.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul evaluating whether or not she has a valuable piece there in her supporting actress Emmy from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Problem is that that show was a comedy.
Yes.
You see, this would be much more valuable if it was for a drama.
Yeah. You're kidding. No, well, you know what they say, comedy is easy. Drama is hard.
That's not what they say.
No, that isn't the saying. That's what they say.
It isn't. Drama's a cinch.
Drama's a cinch. Of course, Bryan Cranston won an Emmy for drama.
So yeah.
A little fun with each other. It's about 4 minutes long, and it's very entertaining. You should check it out online and get on YouTube.
How do you guys think Seth Meyers will do as the first-time host of the Emmys?
I think he will be completely forgettable and fine.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
But you don't think people look back and go, that was great?
I've already forgotten who the host is going to be.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, not a lot of anticipation to see Seth Meyers, I guess.
He should just hand the Emmys out. Just announce names and hand Emmys out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Demi Lovato is 22 years old today.
Demi Lovato.
God, I hate you. Andrew Garfield's 31 years old. Amy Adams is 40. Fred Durst is 44. James Marsters is 52. Actress Joan Allen turns 58. Al Roker, Kevin's favorite TV weatherman, turns 60 today.
I pooped my pants.
And he did. Just to celebrate.
Celebration.
Robert Plant, singer for a little band called Led Zeppelin. You may have heard of them.
Is he the greatest rock and roll singer of all time, Ralph?
No.
Okay. Really?
No, not even close.
Not
even close.
What are you talking about?
He's got to be in your top five, though. Top three? Come on. He's freaking Led Zeppelin.
I know who he is, but he's not even close. He's certainly not in the top three.
Who's the top three in your mind?
Top three has to be Daltrey, first of all, from The Who.
Okay.
Much more
impressive. I thought you were saying Daughtry. I was like, no way.
Yes, Daughtry.
Why is Daltrey so much better than Plant?
Because just listen to them.
I have. That's why I'm asking the question.
That's not an explanation, by the way.
No.
Listen to them.
All right. Freddie Mercury from Queen.
Well, pretty tough to argue that one.
He's top three. I put him in top three.
Yeah. Stop it right there. Stop it.
Right.
That's what I would say.
And third is Weird Al.
And Eddie Money, of course. Oh.
Sure, of course.
Eddie Money.
Amy Adams is 40 years old today. Did I say that already?
You did.
Oh, okay. Ray Wise is 67 years old today. And boxing promoter Don King celebrates his 83rd birthday today.
In the home of the stars, is now back in the forefront again, bringing you Mountain of Blackenite. And out of the Blackenite, he drew this rift that comes out and makes this mountain that's been in for hundreds of millions of years. Mm-hmm. And no one knew where it was. They only knew where the White Mountain was when Kryptonite came.
Kryptonite.
The White Superman came.
Right.
And now we were digging in the arms of Africa back into the mountain.
Oh, okay.
The Kilimanjaro's. Mm-hmm. And then there
always
Black and Night salsa type dance that will make this man fall prey to K-Rock. It's the radio station that gives you information today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's not about choosing sides. It's about giving the knowledge, the information to the people of K-Rock 106.7 on your dial. In Las Vegas, we always had a problem with them Koreans.
What?
What?
Come on.
What?
You know Clark Gable when he was flying the submarine and the Japanese were flying over
flying a submarine?
What are you talking about?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Don King.
Wow.
Don King right there.
83. He just turned 84 while he was announcing that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chloe Grace Moretz this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Adam Carolla at 9 o'clock. It's all coming up here on K-Rock. We, from time to time, throw this topic out there, and we're always amazed at the number of our listeners who have done it. We're talking about people who faked their own death. Now, doesn't it – look, who hasn't dreamed of it? But doesn't it seem like an incredibly difficult thing?
I haven't dreamed of it.
Nor have I.
I've never, really? I've never thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to fake my own death? Not once.
Mm-hmm. What?
No.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Why would I want to fake my own death?
Doesn't it seem like it would be incredibly difficult to get away with in this era of the internet?
It does, seems impossible.
It sure does. But we want to take your calls if you've ever done it or attempted it. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. What was the reason for doing it? What were you trying to avoid or get away with? And how did it go? We want to hear your story. Call us toll-free. And to get you started, to wet your whistle a little bit, we got two stories of people in the news in the past couple of weeks who have done it. Kevin, you're going to go first. You're going to tell us about a guy who faked his death to get out of lawsuits, right?
Yeah, two guys. Actually, lawsuits and prosecution. Two guys that own the professional boat sales in Egg Harbor had an accident at 11:30 at night. One of them,
this is New Jersey, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
One of them swam to the shore, mm-hmm. and the other one was never heard from again. But then the authorities started looking around, and the authorities were looking into them for bad business practices, overcharging people, not delivering a boat. Like, they had all kinds of legal trouble. And I don't know how the guy that swam to shore is going to handle it. But the other guy just went missing and nobody had any idea. And then the police sort of started tracking in on him. Like you said, it's sort of impossible these days to not be found someplace if you're doing anything anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to fake your own death, like if you're in this guy's case, it's not like he could have just decided, oh, wait, I was in a boat crash. That provides me some cover. It's a good time for me to put my plan into effect. I mean, you have to have that thing set up. For instance, you can never use your credit cards again. So you can't just decide on a spur of a moment, now I'm going to fake my own death, unless you've made some sort of alternate arrangement for cash.
Can't use your cell phone. Mm-hmm. I know that from watching TV spy shows.
That's right. Can't use your cell phone anymore. I mean, you've really got to drop out. And I would think you couldn't just, you know, you can't go back to your house in New Jersey. You can't make any contact with any of your friends or any of your family. I mean, you have to be off the grid.
Would you suggest that this guy, Blumenstein, the guy who faked his own death, should not maybe have attended the Atlantic City Boat Show?
No way.
Which is where he got arrested.
I would say stay away from boat shows.
They found him at a boat show and arrested him for faking his own death.
Nice job, dumbass.
That's not ideal. Case number two, as we await your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 on this topic. Case number two, we told you about a little bit early in yesterday's show, but if you missed it, this is a woman who is British who was going to college in America. She did a year in the United States and she went to a school in Connecticut. While she was there, she met a young man. His name was Tucker Blandforth. They're both 23 years old. She went back to England. They continued to stay in touch. He did not come visit her, but he did propose to her long distance. They made all the arrangements and planned the wedding and had a wedding date planned for this past weekend. Well, a few weeks ago, she got a call from a man who said that he was the father of her fiancé, and he had terrible news to tell her.
Oh, no.
That his son had died. That his son had been depressed and had thrown himself in front of a truck, and that he was dead, and I'm sorry. She was obviously devastated. She thought this was the love of her life. She was engaged. They had a wedding date. She just couldn't get her wrap her head around it. So she called the house again a couple of days ago, and her fiancé's mother answered the phone. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought you guys broke up. My son's fine. That's when she found out that it wasn't her potential father-in-law that she'd been talking to. It was her actual fiancé changing his voice and lying to her about the fact that he was dead.
So he changed his voice enough that she didn't recognize her own fiancé?
Yes.
That's impressive. Yes.
Wow. That's exactly what happened. So he said he just freaked out. He said, you know, he knows it was wrong. He just didn't know how to call off the wedding. How many times have we heard that, by the way, that it's easier just to go through with the wedding than to call it off? But he just couldn't bear to do it. So he said the only thing he could think of was to lie to her and say that he was dead. She, by the way, came to America anyway. You know, she had that time off from work already. She was planning on coming to the United States where they were going to get married. Then she was going to go on her honeymoon. And she just decided to make it a U.S. vacation instead. But she did post this video. Here she is talking about what it's like to be the woman whose fiancé fakes his own death to get out of marrying you.
So today is the 15th of August. It was going to be my wedding day. I have mixed feelings about this. A little bit heartbroken. A little bit relieved. I'm really glad that I'm not going to be married to some kind of low-life scumbag who's going to fake his own death and just be generally mean about it and really coward-like about the way he's going to go about breaking up with me. I mean, the opportunities that he had to break up with me, and instead he chooses to fake being his dad on the phone and then turn around and be like, oh my god, like, I've died in a car crash. Like, he had so many opportunities. It really frustrates me that I'm an open kind of person. If he wanted to break up, it's not like I was going to stalk him. He lived in America. So I'm moving on with my life now. I'm actually in America. I've travelled 4,000 miles around the country, and I've learnt a lot. I've learnt a lot about myself, and I'm a great person without him. So I'm grateful that we're not getting married, because I've got a better life planned out.
Have you,
being on my own than with him.
Have you ever heard anybody handle it better?
I know. That was so smooth.
I thought, like,
mature.
I thought, like, she'd have knives and she'd be all angry. She's like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, I think she feels like it was she dodged a bullet, because this guy's obviously unstable and crazy, and she feels like it's his loss, maybe, you know? But you're right. A lot of people would not handle it so well. That's for sure.
Are you faked your own death to get out of a relationship? To get out of legal trouble?
Bad bills. Mm-hmm. Yep.
To whatever Bean's doing? In his private life, where he dreams about faking his own death.
I really thought everyone did.
I don't know what that's all about. But if you tried it, 1-800-520, succeeded or failed. Especially failed, maybe. That's even funnier if you try to fake your own death. And then,
yeah, because if you got away with it, you might not want to go on the radio and talk about it.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll take your calls next.
Hey, let's dive into it. Let's talk to my people, shall we?
Got to tell you, first of all, we're going to need some more time to find out why Bean wants to fake his own death. At another time, though. Right now, we're talking about faking your own death, and we're always worried when we bring up a topic that is that specific, that it's a pretty small sample group.
I would think so. Even of people who have been involved with or known people or had family members who have tried it, it's still a pretty small number, I would think.
But we do have some calls. God bless our listeners.
Let's start with Amanda. Why don't we do Amanda first? She's on line 2, Hacienda Heights. Sergio, you hang on, and Brea, we'll get right to you. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Who faked what?
Okay, so my then ex-boyfriend at the time faked his own death. Kind of. We had got into a really bad argument with each other, and we hadn't spoke to each other for about 2 weeks or so. So I was in my room at night. I was just, you know, reading, and I looked down at my phone, and I got a text message from him. So I looked down at my phone, and it said, "This is a mass text message. Kyle Lemire has died due to head trauma. If you are friends, we truly apologize."
Okay.
I'm freaking the hell out, thinking, you know, what's going on? Like, I mean, and I haven't heard from him for 2 weeks, and
I've never heard of putting out the word in a mass text either.
Yeah,
that's not uncommon.
What?
That's not uncommon, because you don't know some of the people in the deceased's phone, so you send out a text to everyone.
Oh, I see.
That's how you get the word out to people that they know.
Bean knows a lot about this.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Amanda. I'm sorry.
So I had called his mom. I called his dad. I was trying to figure out what exactly was going on. No one was answering their phones, so I'm getting frustrated. So I talked to my parents, and I said, what should I do? And they said, well, call his phone back. See if, you know, someone, you know, who sent the text out, if they answer. So I called his phone back, and lo and behold, he answered.
Do not tell me your boyfriend was the one who answered.
Idiot.
He is the one who answered.
Awesome.
So he answers, and I'm crying over.
And you were like, "You're alive!"
Yeah, I'm so pissed, and I'm just like, "Wait a minute, this is you, right?" And he said, "Yeah." And he's like, "What's up, Amanda?" And I said, "Did you really send out a text?" text message saying that you had died? And he said, yeah. Why?
What? Why?
What? Like it was nothing?
Like it was nothing. And I told him, I said, why did you do that to me? Why would you do that? What is wrong with you? And he told me, well, you haven't called me in 2 weeks. You haven't texted me. And I was feeling depressed and lonely. And I just wanted to see if you still cared about me.
Oh, wow. My God. What and is. I would say no longer. I mean,
so
seriously.
You guys got back together and you're still together today, right?
No. We're Good. Not together anymore. Like
Excellent.
About a week later, I did it with him. I broke up with him because I was with someone unstable, and it really freaked me out that someone would do that. And it just really just turned my stomach
I'm surprised
upside down.
It took you a week. I really
I am.
Too. I mean, that's unbelievable.
It is, and I'm glad you gave me some good tips on how not to handle it, Amanda. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call, too. Let's go to Sergio. He's up next. He's in Brea. He's apparently got a crazy story. And again, you were not the one who faked your own death, but someone close to you did, right, Sergio?
Yes, my ex-girlfriend.
All right, what happened?
All right.
Was her name Amanda?
No, that was Amanda's ex-boyfriend.
Okay, go ahead.
To protect myself, I'll say her name was Jenny.
Fine.
Okay.
This is about 4 years ago. We were dating, broke up. She moved to Oklahoma. She came back to visit, and we got together, had a tryst. And then this was like July of a few years ago. So she calls me in August and says, I'm pregnant with your baby.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'll just play along.
Did you not believe her already?
No.
Okay.
No, I kind of did, but then she sent me a couple pictures of her stomach that looked like she could have just been pushing it out.
So she's terrible at this.
She was really bad at it.
All right.
But as time went on, I was like, well, can you send me a picture of the sonogram, something, anything? Because she kept saying she had doctor visits.
Right.
And so finally, like in February, I made plans to go out there and see her. And she called me one morning, and she says, this is like 5 o'clock in the morning. She's like, yeah, I'm going in for an emergency C-section.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, call me later, tell me what happens. And then she calls me like 5 or 6 hours later. She's like, okay, I had the baby and I'm home. Well, you went in for
5 hours later?
Yeah. I'm like, you went in for a C-section this morning and you're home already? She's like, yeah. And
isn't the C-section like a mandatory like 3, 4, or 5 days?
Yeah.
Well, not anymore, but it's definitely not 5 hours.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay,
it's
so
not, like,
she said
outpatient.
So she said she's home.
Yeah.
And then when did she fake her death?
Yeah, I appreciate the elaborate 20-year backstory, but at some point does someone fake someone's death?
Yeah, well, it was about another month later when she said she was going to give the baby up for adoption. I'm like, I'm flying out there because if any of this is for real, which I don't believe it is.
Right.
I want proof that.
Okay, again, a lot of information that you're giving us that's very much appreciated, but did someone fake their own death?
Yes.
Okay, let's get to that part.
Why do you refuse to tell us that part of the story?
I'm sorry, I know it's a lot of backstory.
You know, you could have started with, my girlfriend faked her own death because she had previously faked a pregnancy, guys, and then that would have been it.
She told me she'd developed ovarian cancer.
Uh-huh. And I was going to fly out there, you guys, but then I didn't.
Yeah. And then a month later, she was posing as someone else saying that she died from the ovarian cancer.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That took a long time to get to.
Thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, you can't tell a f***ing story. The relentless tedium of your story is making us all sick. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show would rather plunge heavy gauge sewing needles into our eyes than listen to you for one moment longer. But please continue to hold, and one of our semi-competent representatives will be on the line to give you a prize of little to no value. Once again, thank you for calling Kevin and Bean, but please never, never call us again.
I hear talk. Mr. Joy is going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show sometime in the next couple of weeks. Get a chance to interview him and have him perform live on the show. That should be fun. Our next guest is only 17 years old, but has already had so many remarkable movie performances in films like Kick-Ass and Let Me In and Hick and Carrie and the new film opening up everywhere this weekend called If I Stay. Let's welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show actress Chloe Grace Moretz. Hi, Chloe.
Hey, guys.
It's great to talk to you again. Speaking of music, we were just playing that Vance Joy song. I understand you're quite the music fan and even had something to do with the soundtrack for your new film. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm a huge music fan. Music is kind of a really big part of my life.
Your phone is breaking up. We can barely hear you.
Not hearing you at all.
And now zero.
That was a tremendous interview.
Oh, there
you are. You're back.
All I heard. Hey. All I heard was, can you hear me?
Stay where you are, Chloe.
Okay.
Oh, this isn't going to work. I'm very sorry. Look, we'll okay, we'll hang up.
She's going to call us back.
Call you right back.
Okay. Okay.
I think it went well. I think, by the way, that was better than the last guy that we talked to's story.
Sergio's story, yeah. We did get a lot of great reaction from Sergio's story, including more than one listener who threatened to fake his own death if it would get him out of having to listen to Sergio's story. He did start that story from when he was a little kid, is how it seemed to me, right?
Look, here, we've given these classes, I feel like, for a long time. If you're going to tell a story, start 30 seconds before whatever happens.
Right.
So if somebody fakes their death, you have 30 seconds for that setup, and then somebody better be faking their death. We don't need the entire backstory in real time.
I just feel like with his girlfriend, we had to hear about her first missed period and then her pregnancy test. And then she had to go to the doctor. And then there had to be a sonogram. And then she had to be, you know, every single month of her pregnancy had to be documented. It just was too much.
Yeah, we're having trouble getting hold of her. I don't think they're able to call her back. It's kind of a bummer.
Let's give it a minute. We got nothing but time. Adam Carolla coming up just after 9. Yes.
There is a live Twitter Q&A with Chloe Grace Moretz today.
Cool.
Today, Wednesday, August 20th at 11 a.m., you just use the hashtag AskChloe.
Okay.
And then she will be able to answer your questions on a much better line than we have. All right, let's try it again.
Apparently we do have her. Hi, Chloe.
Hey.
Hey, sorry about that.
No problem. Right. I have horrible service. So.
Yeah, we appreciate you getting back to us. But we were talking about how we're all big music fans, and you got some songs on the soundtrack. And I'm always fascinated with how that works, because that always seems like that's somebody else's job, and they wouldn't let you into that.
Yeah, and it kind of is, you know what I mean? But I was on iTunes and YouTube and kind of checking out new artists and stuff, as I like to do. And I found this new girl who plays the cello, and she's a soloist, and she kind of sits there and sings with her cello. And I think that's interesting because no one really does that. And because the movie kind of centers around the cello and that's Mia's passion and love, I figured it would be really, really cool to incorporate her in the project. So I sent her music over to the director and the head of the studio, and they fell in love with her too, and they actually had her do a cover of Halo.
That's awesome. I can't.
That's super cool.
I can't. If we did that, we would get a message back. Yeah, yeah. You take care of what you're doing, and we'll take care of the music.
That's funny.
You had to learn how to play the cello, or did you already know to play Mia in If I Stay?
I definitely didn't know how to already. I definitely did have to try and learn. And I spent about 7 months to learn how to play the cello, but it turned out it's a much harder instrument than I thought it was.
Can you rock on it now?
I wish. We had to do a lot of Frankenstein editing in the movie where they kind of cut my head off and put it on another girl's body.
Who could play really well.
Exactly. So I look super cool.
Is it being such a big music fan and now knowing that you can teach yourself to play an instrument, is it the type of thing you think you might stick with and continue to play music as you grow?
I mean, I would like to. You know what I mean? I've always said that like I want to play piano, I want to play guitar, I want to do all this stuff. But I find it, you know, with cello, I have like a really natural knack for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's such a large instrument to begin with, and also it's not an instrument where you can like look up a YouTube tutorial and like teach yourself a couple songs and chords. It's literally like you have to have, you know, hire someone to teach you, and it's very rigorous, and it's hours and hours of training every day.
Have you ever listened? Have you ever gone to YouTube and searched how to do anything and listened to how everyone that gives those tutorials is 7 years old or younger?
Yes, 100%.
It's so frustrating.
I go like
Photoshop, how do I? And it's like it's a 4 year old going, okay, first you take this.
Exactly.
It's such a bummer. I'm not familiar with the story, If I Stay. Tell me about it.
If I Stay is basically a story about this young girl who lives quite a charmed life. You know, she has a great family life. She has this amazing boyfriend she's madly in love with. She has this awesome passion for the cello, and she's destined to kind of go to Juilliard and live this very large life. And then she is encountered with this gigantic catastrophe where she loses the life of her parents in a car accident she was involved in with her little brother. And she's put into a coma, and her little brother is put into a coma too. And she basically has this gigantic life decision of, should she stay for her brother and for her boyfriend and for her passion of music and family, or should she go to be with her father and mother?
Dude, that's heavy.
Yeah, it's real.
How tough is it to play a girl in a coma? I feel like I could do that.
I lay there with a couple tubes in my mouth, and it's, you know, it's the hardest job I've had.
Because I would just think that if I knew they were shooting around me and I had all these characters in my hospital room that were doing their dialogue and I knew that my only job was not to move, somehow I would not be able to stop from moving. I would have to blink. I'd have to do something to screw up the scene.
Well, luckily, I had this hired ICU coma double who literally for 2 months laid in a bed.
Oh, my God. Really? Yeah. That's a crazy job for somebody to have.
I want that job.
Literally.
That's a great job to lay in bed for 2 months.
I was so jealous of her. I was like, you don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there.
This is the voice of actress Chloe Grace Moretz on a terrific-sounding phone line, by the way. We're talking about her new film called If I Stay that opens up everywhere on Friday. And this is another adaptation of a very popular book. And I know that you've been doing a lot of press for this movie, and you have run into a lot of people who love this book. I mean, there's a huge fan base of people who really care how you portray Mia, right?
Totally. I mean, I think that's what's been so cool about this press tour. I mean, we've done mall events, you know, we've done book signings everywhere. And, you know, you have 600-700 kids showing up, and they're all, you know, they're all young girls with their mothers, and there's also some young boys in there. And it's really awesome to just kind of see such a diverse fan group for one book and how it really does hit home with all these people. And that makes the movie really worth doing.
Does it put pressure on you that there are so many expectations before you ever do it?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I think what it is, I'm a fan of the book myself. So I think what it really did for me is I put my own pressure on myself as a fan going, I don't want to let my own book down.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be the audience member in the theater going, I just ruined a great book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Which has happened 100 times.
But you're with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our official policy is that reading is for losers. You endorse that, don't you, Chloe?
Obviously.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. All right, last question I have for you, and everybody should go see If I Stay, opening in theaters everywhere this Friday with Chloe Grace Moretz. I saw your Ice Bucket Challenge. We're catching up with all the stars that we have on this week with the Ice Bucket Challenge. Yours was very good. How have you been doing with the three folks that you called out? Have all three of them done it? Do you have a 100% success rate on yours?
One hasn't done it, two have. So I'm 2-for-1 right now.
All right. Okay, you're 2-for-3.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Keep up the great work.
I
know this is one of 6 movies that you have out in 2014. So congratulations on working so hard and being so good and everything. And we'll look forward to If I Stay. And thanks for coming on and for calling us back. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chloe.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
The Ace Man right after the top of the hour. Adam Carolla joins us with This Week in Rage. First, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Matthew McConaughey.
You're guilty.
Eating. You're eating, aren't you?
I am eating, yes. Yeah. He is guilty of a fashion crime. Big deal was made this week when he was spotted at the Red Sox-Astros game at Fenway Park.
Okay.
Wearing? What do you think?
Red Sox-Astros.
What was he wearing?
Some other sports.
What was his
teams
fashion faux pas?
Jersey or hat?
No, good.
No.
Dave, the King of Mexico, just guessed fanny pack.
Fanny pack indeed is the correct answer. Yeah.
You know what? you know why Dave said that is because Dave rocks the fanny pack.
He still rocks the fanny pack?
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Well, Matthew
and Rogan,
says,
of course, Joe Rogan, biggie to the fanny pack.
Matthew says he's not afraid of the fanny pack. He wears it to the side, he says, so it won't look so nerdy. But he says it has all his gear in it, and practicality wins out over fashion. So he says he's bringing the fanny pack back.
What gear does he need?
You know, lip balm, Swiss Army knife.
What the hell?
Tape measure.
In case you have to build something immediately.
What he's got in there, but...
Now, some people... Kevin, you went to Brazil this summer for the World Cup. A lot of people will defend the fanny pack in the case of traveling because
they've got
stuff they... Is that something you or your group put into effect?
No,
definitely. Did you fanny pack?
No.
No, I didn't. But
no, Kevin,
others did.
Look, he keeps all of his money wadded up in his pocket with like an old Snickers bar and a piece of yarn. And a frog in there. You think he's actually going to organize something into a fanny pack? He doesn't have a wallet. A man doesn't own a wallet. He just has shorts with pockets in them.
I'll tell you who did was comedian Brad Williams. And a fanny pack on him is huge.
It's a backpack.
It's sort of a backpack, yeah. But he wears it right in front, and he's very positive about it, very happy.
Well,
very
so proud. Is Matthew McConaughey, and he says he's bringing it back. So get ready for this resurgence of the fanny pack, boys and girls.
That is not good news.
That's not a good look.
That's like parachute pants coming back. It's just some fashion trends we need to leave behind.
It's not a good look for anyone. Congratulations to my podcast partner and good buddy, Kevin Smith. A lot of people carrying the story. It was released this week about his new film that he's filming right now as we speak with Johnny Depp. Kevin Smith working with Johnny in a film called Yoga Hosers, second of his Canadian trilogy.
Called?
Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers.
I kind of like it.
It's about two 15-year-old girls who are yoga aficionados in Canada.
Right.
So they're hosers.
Okay.
So they're the yoga hosers.
Okay.
Movie stars Lily Rose Depp, Johnny's daughter, as well as Kevin's daughter, Harley Quinn Smith. And Johnny also has a sizable role in the film.
I rented Yoga Hosers.
No, you did not.
It's
Yogurt Hosers is what you rented, and you were confused.
Ralph, I have a question about your friend Kevin Smith.
Yes?
Why is he so terrible at retiring?
He has rescinded.
How many last movies ever can he make?
He has rescinded the retirement whole
good.
Thing. That's
good. I wanted him to keep making movies forever.
He will do that. That's his new.
What changed his mind? Because he was pretty often saying, even on this show, "Hey, I've said everything that I want to say. It's time to move or let somebody else." Take a crack at it.
He dived full bore into podcasting, and then out of one of his podcasts came an idea for a movie that he really wanted to see. He said that would be an awesome movie.
And that was Tusk?
And that was Tusk.
Okay.
So the creative fuel that he's getting from his various podcasts that he does has really sort of re-energized his desire to make movies based on ideas that he gets out of the podcasting
good.
Experience. He finds it as sort of like a free-form brainstorming kind of thing that is creating all these new ideas in his head for films that he really likes what he's doing now.
Good. So, I like the way he directs.
So he's back. Speaking of which, Saturday night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin and I will celebrate our fourth year of Hollywood Babylon.
No way.
4 years we've been doing that show.
No kidding.
So we're having our fourth anniversary show Saturday night at 10 p.m. Only a couple tickets left.
How's
so.
That going to be different? Are you going to drink?
I will be drinking
this
weekend in celebration of the 4 years
that we've been
doing the show. And Kevin said he might actually smoke a little bit.
Oh, well, is that right?
So. No, no, and no.
We're going to get a little crazy. We're going to let loose a little bit.
Nuts.
We're going to go nuts.
So
no! No! Today's celebrity birthdays, Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato.
He's 22 years old today. Andrew Garfield is 31. Amy Adams, Lois Lane herself, is 44 years old. James Marsters of Buffy, 52 years old. Joan Allen is 58. Al Roker, 60 years old.
Al, how did you celebrate?
I pooped my pants.
Yeah.
All right.
Put a candle in it. Robert Plant is 66. Actor Ray Wise is 67. And boxing promoter Don King celebrates his 83rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A week from Friday is the kickoff of the Labor Day weekend, you guys. It's already here. It's a little bit early this year because it's in August. But Adam Carolla is going to be taking it to the road. He is going to be in Las Vegas for Labor Day weekend on Friday night, August 29th, 7 o'clock for a Mangria tasting and bottle signing. That's going to be at the Treasure Island Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. And then the Adam Carolla Show Live is going to be at 9 o'clock with special guest comedian George Wallace, Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars as well. Hey, Ace Man, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
I got to tell you, and I don't know, I know you don't, you know, travel much. I know that's not your thing, but August, Las Vegas, great combination, good scheduling.
Oh, you know, Mike August, the guy who books all my live things, he's a genius. August, it's Phoenix and Vegas, and December, it's Winnipeg. He knows exactly what he's doing.
He's looking out for you. Adam Carolla joins us every week about this time for a little feature we like to call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, since it's all the buzz, I thought I'd do all three, one through three, on this whole ALS ice bucket challenge.
All right.
It's sweeping the nation. First off, yesterday I was in Pomona trying to catch a contractor, and I was standing out in the street trying to get a little me time, and I was approached by a neighbor who said she wanted me to participate in the ice bucket challenge, but not for Lou Gehrig's disease. This one was for an animal rescue shelter. And then I realized, oh, this is the big problem with stuff like this.
Uh-oh.
It spreads out. Every fricata organization gets hold of this thing, and the next thing you know, you're getting ice bucket challenge so you can get crayons for your kid's school.
It's a daily thing. You just get ice water dumped on your head.
Look what happened with Got Milk. Got Milk started out as a campaign so people would buy more milk, and then a year later, you're driving down to Ventura and Encino, and there's some fat realtor, and it's on a billboard, and it says, "Got real estate? Call Bob Johnson.
Yeah.
He'll get it for you." You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I'm not even raising money for ALS. I'm raising money for people who want free dogs. It's got to end, people.
And Adam, also, have you? I saw your life partner Jimmy Kimmel's hilarious challenge with the ice in his pants this week that he posted from Idaho. But I haven't seen one from you. Have you not done one yet?
My wife was forced to do one, but I think they just wanted to see her boobs.
Of the two of you, I would much rather see your
good
wife.
Call.
Yeah, and then I start thinking, what about the rest of the world? Like, what about the countries in sub-Saharan Africa who are like, hey, what's the blue-eyed devil up to? Oh, he's taking frosty, cold, ice, drinkable, clean water and dumping it on the ground. I mean, what about all these impoverished nations who just have a well filled with malaria? And here we are. Hey, it's Bon Jovi. He's dumping more good, drinkable water, something that would feed our crops and our children right down the gutter. What kind of message does that send to the world?
That's an excellent point, Adam.
Are you more pissed off? Let's just say you're just sitting in some impoverished village in Africa. It's been 2 years since there's been a drop of rain. The crops are dead. The cows are emaciated. The earth is scorched. You turn on Comedy Central. You see Gallagher with his sledge-o-matic hitting a cassava melon, or you see, like, Coach Ditka getting a bucket of water dumped on his head.
Yeah,
who,
it's
what
gotta
do you
hurt.
More
it's all got to hurt.
All right. And lastly, number one, I don't know if you guys heard out here in California, every time I get on the freeway, there's a sign that says, we're in a drought.
Yeah, extreme drought.
We're in extreme drought. Is this how you behave in extreme drought, people? Can we fill these buckets with sawdust or kitty litter or something? The tears of the orphans, anything but just good, clean, cold water. We're in a drought.
I'm not sure the tears of the orphan challenge has quite the same pizzazz.
I don't write everything down, Kevin.
Okay.
I free flow, and obviously they're not all winners. But what I'm saying is are we in extreme drought, or do we just hate water? Which
well,
is
they
it?
Do, they do say it's the worst drought in California's recorded history. Like, in over 100 years, at least, there's never been less water. So maybe not the best time to intentionally waste as much of it as possible, is your point.
Well, all I'm saying is if you do it in California, you should be having to, I don't know, stand over a tomato plant or something.
Okay.
Because this is an extreme waste of water. Their timing couldn't have been worse.
How about the Mangria bucket challenge, Adam? Maybe that's what we ought to be trying to get going.
You fill that bucket with Mangria, you right. dump it on your head, you get divorced, you move to Mexico, and the law never catches up to you.
Adam Carolla in Las Vegas kicking off your Labor Day weekend a week from Friday night. He's got two great events going on, the Mangria Tasting Party at the Treasure Island Hotel and Casino, and then a terrific show for the podcast live at 9 with comedian George Wallace, who's terrific, and Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars as well. Have fun, Adam. We'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Josh.
That's Steve Ballmer, man. He sounded excited. He sounded real happy to be on the phone with us, didn't he?
Sure did.
I think the Clippers have traded one brand of crazy for another.
But I like this. This brand of crazy is more entertaining and less hurtful.
It seems less racist.
Yeah, yeah,
it does. He likes black people. Right? It's a good sign. Hey, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
This is good news when it comes to casting. I love that Brooklyn Nine-Nine show on Fox. One of my favorite comedies.
It's great.
Always makes me laugh out loud each and every week. So well written.
Great cast, too.
And well performed and just a really tight sitcom, which you don't see a lot of anymore. A lot of them are very sloppy and very sitcom-esque, and by that I mean they write the dialogue to resemble comedy. I mean, there's setups and punchlines.
Right.
And then they have the laugh track.
And they deliver them like they're
indicating
funny.
Indicating where you should be laughing.
Right.
But there's no comedy there. This right. show makes
it.
Me laugh out loud every time I watch it. And they've just added another cast member, at least for a short 3-episode arc. Eva Longoria will be joining the cast of that show.
Interesting.
I think she could be very funny when used properly. So I'm
think
looking
so
forward
too.
To her playing a defense attorney who faces off against Jake, Andy Samberg's character.
Is this another one of those that comes back in September?
Yep.
Okay.
But September's right around the corner, Kevin.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks.
Sadly, though, it's moving to Sunday night, which I don't understand. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
That's a tough night right
I don't know.
There.
I got to get on the horn to Fox and rattle some cages over there and see what's
You're
going on.
You're still the vice president of Hollywood, right? So
yeah.
take
oh, sure.
your call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. While we're talking about television, tomorrow at 10 a.m., the FXX channel will begin its Simpsons marathon.
Heard a lot about this. Every single episode?
Every single episode out of 552 episodes will be airing starting tomorrow at 10 a.m. And it will go all the way through 24 hours a day until September the 1st.
Hey, I mean, they're playing them all, so I know the answer is yes. But when are they airing that one where Bart gets in trouble at school?
Oh, I get it now. That's funny. But seriously, I hate you, and I hope you get hit by a truck.
Hey, that's my line. And Ant-Man has begun filming. Ant-Man! Monday, they began filming Ant-Man.
Oh, dude, lame.
I don't know if you've seen the photo. It's a picture of Paul Rudd. Looks like he walked right out of the comic book.
I love Paul Rudd.
Or it's just Paul Rudd standing on a street, and they took his picture. Judy Greer's in this movie. Did you know that?
Love Judy Greer.
Fantastic.
John Slattery from Mad Men. Bobby Cannavale.
You weren't there when being creeped out Judy Greer, were you?
I didn't creep her out at all, by the way.
I just heard about okay. it after
There
the
was
fact.
Nothing creepy about right. it. The next time we have her on, we'll let her decide, but it was not creepy at all.
That's Miss Judy Greer!
I said hello to her. She
How
walked
did you
by,
say
and
it?
I said, hey, it's Miss Judy Greer.
Yeah.
That's
her
Twitter handle.
In a real-life, non-virtual situation.
And that is what came to my mind.
Does she know who you are?
We've never met.
Right.
All right.
So, creepy accomplished. Well done.
But in my defense, and we can have this discussion with her when she comes in, but in my defense, I didn't realize she was on the phone at the time when I said it. I just saw her in an instant. It was the first thing that came to my mind as I thought of that name and I said that name. I thought she would probably stop and I would be able to introduce myself as, hey, you're on the Kevin and Bean show all the time. It's nice to finally meet you in
How's
person.
How'd that work
and
out?
Bean didn't happen. She just kept walking.
Why would she stop for someone she doesn't recognize, a giant creepy man who goes, oh, look, it's Miss Judy Greer. Why would she possibly stop for that person?
Because she's the nicest lady in the world.
She's not
that's
stupid,
why.
Though.
I assume
she's nice, but she's not going to take her life in her hands.
If she weren't busy and she weren't on the phone, I bet she would have stopped and we would have had a nice moment
no,
there.
She wouldn't.
But there wasn't anything creepy about it.
Creepy serial killer with Mr. Magoo glasses? She's not stopping for you.
Why is it creepy to say hello to someone that you run into on the street?
Not creepy. Shouting out their Twitter handle in a crowd is creepy.
I'm sorry. That came across super creepy, okay?
I can't explain, and I said this to Kevin immediately after she walked by. I said, I don't know why my inclination was to think of her Twitter handle rather than her actual name. That was a weird, disconnect in my brain.
Because
you're Max Headroom. It
is. You live in a virtual world.
You live in the internet.
You are the Matrix.
That's why.
Take the blue pill.
You don't see people in real life. So what you do is you go, I know that person online.
I know that avatar. There's a walking avatar. Judy Greer's avatar is walking.
First of all, at the Kevin Ryder, that's not true. First of all.
See what he did? Because he referred to me as...
The jokes just keep on coming.
They keep on coming.
How about the one...
He's like a young Robin Williams with the speed of the improv.
But seriously, I hate you and I hope you get hit by a truck.
Yeah. How about the one where Homer screws up at work and there's danger of nuclear power leaking? Is that one going to air in the Simpsons Marathon?
I'm number one. Victory is mine. So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka. In your face. Boo, cha, ka cha ka ka ba. A boo, a ba. Who's your daddy? A boo, doo, ba, doo, ba, ba, dow, ba, doo.
Move on quick.
Today's celebrity birthday is Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato.
He's 22 years old today. Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man. 31, Amy Adams, Lois Lane. A lot of comic book superheroes are celebrating birthdays today. Fred Durst, Doucheman. He's 44 years old. James Marsters from Buffy. He played Spike on that series. He's 52. Joan Allen is 58. Al Roker, the masked pooper. He's 60 years old today.
I pooped my pants.
Robert Plant turned 66. Ray Wise, the director. Nope, the actor is 67 years old. And boxing promoter Don King turns 83. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I forget why he pooped his pants. What was that? What was the story there?
He went through the gastro bypass surgery and what have you.
Right.
And I think...
Wasn't he someplace important like the White House?
White House. He was at the White House conference. And I think he was still getting used to his new plumbing and somehow miscalculated and ended up in intestinal distress.
And I think he threw his underwear in the White House bathroom, threw that away in the bathroom there and just went commando the rest of the day.
I heard he threw it up to the ceiling and it just stuck up there and then he walked out.
They haven't been able to remove it.
That's right.
We're going to tear down the White House and build a new one. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dr. Drew on the show.
What about the one where Marge fights with Homer?
Ralph, did you hear
Come on, that wasn't terrible attempted comedy, Ralph.
Ralph, did
it
you...
It wasn't terrible.
Did you hear when we were doing the You Fake Your Own Death conversation?
Yes.
Did you hear Bean?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Like we've all imagined doing...
Bean was shocked that Lisa and I hadn't really seriously considered faking our own deaths.
I thought we'll save it for another day, but I thought everyone had envisioned a way to drop out and be off the grid. And
not
leave
everybody
the old behind
wants
and
to leave their
whole family
their
and
situation.
Friends
and,
yeah, some yeah. of us like our lives.
Right. Yeah, but then people can get a hold of you and they know where you are and they know what you're up to. That's
probably
too much.
You know, it helps that he doesn't have kids. It helps that he doesn't have really very many. Do you have pets anymore? You have dogs?
Yeah, I have dogs, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a
you
wife.
You still have a wife?
Oh, yeah, her too, yeah.
Just barely, though,
would
right?
Would she go with you or no? You just leave her behind.
In my scenario, no.
Okay.
Well, my sheep are dead by now waiting to come out of the barn.
Yeah. Okay.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know why you sound drunk.
Pier Mug just found that.
It's like,
why do you sound drunk?
He says he's in tears.
Is he crying?
I hope so.
Could I hear that again?
Well, my sheep are dead by now waiting to come out of the barn.
Well, he sort of sounds like he's laughing but crying.
Is that beginning of one of those tribute songs he did back in the day?
My sheep are going to die.
I can't imagine what conversation that was a part of.
Bean Baxter said about his sheep.
Stay for just a while.
This was put in December of 2012.
That's when we got this clip.
Well, my sheep are dead by now waiting to come out of the barn.
Why would you save it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Relevant.
Muggs just found it and earned his pay for the day. Did I say Ralphie May tomorrow?
No, Ralphie May's coming on.
Comedian Ralphie May will be here.
We'll see.
Did I say Dr. Drew?
No.
You did.
Not at
all. Did, okay.
Okay.
Didn't? Did. All right,
did.
Dr. Drew. Brand new internet roundup.
What about Ralphie May?
Ralphie May, right? He will be here. Yeah.
This is fun. You can do this with Kevin all day.
It's true. And a guy who made a movie about the Burning Man.
Oh.
Steve Brown.
Okay.
And I've been there myself, and it is it's crazy in all capital letters. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow morning as well on the Kevin and Beach.